As you can probably tell, this isn't going to be a typical Palm Sunday lesson. But I titled it, A Christian Goes to Washington, D.C. And then in parentheses, to Dowagiac, to Niles, or to South Bend. Well, in order to go to Washington, D.C., you have to know the alphabet, because you know all the slang words, all the whatever you want to call it. But I'm going to use typical ones that we have heard over and over again and adapt them to us as Christians. The first one, CIA. For those of you who don't remember, that's the Central Intelligence Agency. But I would like to call it a Christ-like inattitude. And we'll start this morning in Philippians, second chapter, verses 5 through 8. This is a fairly common scripture we probably know. But let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto his death, even the death on the cross. Christ-like in attitude. Servant's attitude. Christ's ministry was one to the poor, to those, to the people who needed it, who were sick, who were maimed, and who needed it. He was a servant. He humbled himself. He was born in a manger. And in Acts, or in Romans, Paul writes in 12, another fairly common passage, Romans 12, verses 1 through 3. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. He was a servant, he humbled himself, and was obedient. If we remember in Acts 5:29, when Peter and the apostles were before the Sanhedrin, he said, we ought to obey God rather than man. Obedient. Christ-like in attitude. The second one, IRS. I think we're all familiar with the Internal Revenue Service means, does, and all that. But I respect Satan. We'll say, why would anybody want to respect Satan? Well, 1 Peter 5:8 gives us that admonition. 1 Peter 1:5-8. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things are in you and abound, they shall make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old way. Also, Peter reminds us that we're supposed to be sober and vigilant, for our adversary, the devil, seeketh about whom he may devour. And yes, in the New Testament, we have an example of a man who let Satan enter into his heart. In Colossians 4:14, Paul mentions a man by the name of Demas as being a fellow Christian and one to give salutations to. This was approximately in 64 A.D., less than 2 years later, in Paul's letter to Timothy, 2 Timothy 4:10, Demas has left his Savior, or had left the way, because of the world. So yes, Satan does have effect on us. If we remember in Genesis 3:1 about the devil, he's the subtle. The serpent was the most subtle animal that was created. In Acts 13:10, Paul confronts Elymais and told him that because the devil had entered into him because of subtlety and mischief, and then we know what happened to Elymais, he was blind for a year. So we need to respect Satan, because if we don't, we could be another Demas. The next one I'd like to talk about is the FBI. We all know it stands for Federal Bureau of Investigation. But I would like to liken it to faith, belief, and involvement. In 2 Peter 1, or the ones I just read, I got the scripture out of hand, about our faith. And in James 2:14, we've been looking at that during Sunday evening, but James 2:14, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man may say he hath faith and hath not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them none of those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. We have to have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And if we turn to Hebrews 11, we see that in each instance where the writer of Hebrews talks about the different people in the Old Testament and New Testament who had faith, there was always an action word mentioned along with it. We start out with 11:5, and it talks about Enoch. Enoch pleased God. In verse 7, Noah pleased God by preparing an ark. In verse 8, Abraham was called and went. Verse 11, Sarah believed God. Verse 20, Isaac was blessed. Verse 21, Jacob worshipped. Verse 24, Moses refused to be called the Pharaoh's daughter. 31, Rahab received spies. And we go on down through the rest of those. Each one of them, there was an action word that their belief was put in involvement. It wasn't just something that you kept to yourself. The next one, TVA. That may not be very familiar to you, but TVA is the Tennessee Valley Authority that was established back in the 30s. But we have total victory assured. Revelations 21. Revelations 21, 2 through 4. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Also, back in verse 10 of chapter 2, for none of these things which thou shalt suffer, behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, and you may be tried, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Paul mentions to the letter in Philippians chapter 3 that I press on to the high calling which is in God. We are assured of total victory when we follow Christ. The next one is the EPA, Environmental Protection Association, but enduring a prayerful attitude. Prayer is mentioned over 200 times in the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament. Must be pretty important. In the Old Testament, some examples, we know of Hannah, when she gave her prayer in 1 Samuel. This prayer was so intense, if you want to call it, so meaningful, that she didn't even move her lips. It was just in her heart. And that's in 1 Samuel 1, verses 10 through 13. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affection of thy handmaiden and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him to the Lord in all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. Her prayer was so intense that only her mouth was moving, but no words were coming out. In the New Testament, we're familiar with what happened to the church on Peter's behalf. In Acts 16:25, Peter had been released from prison, but the church did not know it. They were in continual prayer in the house, and Peter went to the door, knocked. Rhoda told them that it was Peter. They couldn't believe it, but it was there because the prayerful attitude and the prayerfulness of the church had helped win Peter's release. And then in Acts 16, Paul and Silas were in prison. Most people, when they are down and out and are at the end of their line, as usually when you're put in prison, you're not very happy. But Paul and Silas prayed, and at midnight we know that what happened. They were released, and the Philippian jailer was baptized, he and his house. And then also in Christ, the prayers that we are most familiar with in Matthew 6:9, our Father which art in heaven. And then his whole chapter in John 17 of Christ's prayer. So the prayerful attitude, enduring prayerful attitude. The next one ATF. We're familiar, if you're maybe not too familiar, but alcohol, tobacco, and firearms. Now here's a new word I'd like to introduce to your vocabulary if you haven't had it. It's called alactry, A-L-A-C-R-I-T-Y. I know right now Carl's already looking it up in his dictionary to see if I'm right. But alactry, thankful, and friendly. Alactry means cheerful. The cheerfulness is mentioned in Proverbs two or three times. Proverbs 15:13. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. A merry heart, and if in the New International, that's a cheerful heart. Then also in the next couple chapters over in the back one, 17:22, a merry heart doth good like medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. To be cheerful, and then also to be thankful. Paul begins his defense before Felix, as we had just been in Bible study class on Sunday morning. He was thankful that Festus was a good ruler. And he mentioned that at the beginning of his defense. And then Paul also, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, says, giving thanks always, always giving thanks. In Colossians, let thanksgiving abound in your life. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything, give thanks. So to be cheerful, thankful, and then friendly. In Proverbs, there's the passage that we're fairly familiar with. We always quote it whether we know that's where it came from or not. But Proverbs 18:24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. In order to have friends, we have to be friendly. Cheerful, thankful, and friendly. ATF, alacrity, thankful, and friendly. The next one is NRA. That's been in the news quite a bit. National Rifle Association. Some of us in here may be members. But the NRA, Notice Right Acts. In Ephesians 4, Paul gives us an admonition in verses 11 and 12. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry of edifying the body of Christ. All of us are to be edifying. We need to notice when people do things right. Also, in Romans, when Paul wrote to the Roman church in verse 19 of chapter 14, Romans 14, 19, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherein one may edify another. So we should notice rightful things that people do, and to build each other up, not to tear them down. The last one I'd like to talk about is NATO, N-A-T-O. We're all familiar with the North America Treaty Organization. It cost me my job at one point, and I live with the results of NATO on a daily basis where I work now. But NATO, not allow temptation to overcome. In James 1, chapter 3, chapter 1, verse 13. James gives us the admonition that let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. So we must listen to what the Scripture says and realize that when we're tempted, it's not because of God. He goes on to tell us we're tempted when we draw ourselves away from our own wants. Jesus told his disciples back in Matthew 26 in the garden, "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation." It must have been pretty important if Jesus wanted to tell his disciples one of the last things that he would mention to them, "Watch and pray that you not enter into temptation." And we also have the assurance in 1 Corinthians that Paul writes in chapter 10, verse 13, "We will not be tempted beyond what we can bear." So we are not allowed to be tempted, or not allow temptation to overcome us. And we can do that by our fellowship, our breaking of bread, meeting around the Lord's table, and listening to the apostles' doctrine, as it was mentioned there in Acts 2:42. So if we're going to Washington, we need to know all these things, but also right here in Dowagiac or Niles or South Bend. Let us have a Christ-like attitude in our lives. Let the CIA be a Christ-like in our attitude. Respect Satan. We have to respect our adversary so we know how to deal with it. So to respect Satan, and have our faith, belief, and involvement. Have our faith be an action, not just something we keep to ourselves. And remember that we have total victory assured. And have an enduring, prayerful attitude. Be cheerful, thankful, edify one another, and not let temptations overcome us. So what we really need to do is to roll up our sleeves and get to work. As whether we're going to Washington, D.C., or whether we're working here in our local area. So this morning, I hope a little look at this kind of a tongue-in-cheek of what goes on in Washington can go on right here in Dowagiac, Niles, and South Bend. Carl has chosen a song that could not be any more appropriate as the invitation hymn. To the work. Yes, we are called to do a work, whether we go to Washington or whether we stay right here. A work that entitles us to get busy, roll up our shirt sleeves, and get down to work. So this morning, if you are subject to the Lord's invitation in any way, whether you need for the first time or whether you have a burden on your heart, that's part of the recognizing and edifying one another that we are here to help. So this morning, if you are subject to the Lord's invitation, now is the time.